Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold. For this is my country to have and to
Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Brazola, and today, April 5th, we didn't realize it was John Houston's birthday. His father was Walter Houston. He was born in Canada. Walter was, and then like many Canadians who came down to the States, worked in Hollywood, and his son was John Houston, the great director, actor, and, of course, the father of Angelica Houston, who's also an actress. So today, what we're going to do, we have quite a few clips from the library of Burton, who was one of the great voices, Richard Burton, who was from Wales. He said something very interesting about homosexuality. He said, "I tried it, but it doesn't work." And he had these tempestuous affairs with women, but particularly with Elizabeth Taylor, who he married and divorced twice. Married twice and divorced twice, I guess, and starred in a lot of great films. And we have clips from some of them, including one with John Houston as a director. So what we're going to do is start off today, since Richard Burton died today. He died early of a cerebral hemorrhage. So here we go. We're going to play excerpts from some of his great scenes. And here goes the first one.
I actually fell for him.
This is night there.
Mom was a romantic at heart.
That I am. I actually fell for him. And the match seemed practical, too. For a while, Daddy really thought that George
had
the stuff to take over when he was ready.
Wait a minute, Martha.
And we both thought that naturally...
Stop it, Martha.
What do you want?
I wouldn't go on with this if I were you.
No, you wouldn't, would you? Well, you're not.
You've already sprung a leak about you-know-what.
What? Why?
About the sprout, the little bugger, our son. If you start in on this other business, Martha, I warn you.
I stand warned.
Do we really have to go through all this?
So anyway, I married the SOB. I had it all planned out. First, he'd take over the history department. Then when Daddy retired, he'd take over the whole college, you know? That was the way it was supposed to be. Getting angry, baby, huh? That was the way it was supposed to be. All very simple. And Daddy thought it was a good idea, too, for a while. Until he started watching for a couple of years. Getting angrier? Until he watched for a couple of years and started thinking that maybe it wasn't such a good idea after all. That maybe Georgie boy didn't have the stuff. That maybe he didn't have it in him.
Stop it, Mother.
Like hell I will. You see, George didn't have much push. He wasn't particularly aggressive. In fact, he was sort of a flop. A great big fat.
Stop it, Mother.
I hope that was an empty bottle, George. You can't afford to waste good liquor. Not on your salary. Not on an associate professor's salary.
That was just one of the great scenes with Elizabeth Taylor, who he also married. He was also played Mark Anthony to her Cleopatra. And, of course, Rex Harrison, sexy Rexy, was Big Julius Caesar. Here's another excerpt from, I think this is Beckett, where he plays, it's either the Beckett or he plays the defrocked Episcopal priest in the Night of the, well, let's see what this is. Who excommunicates Henry.
Lord Gilbert, Baron of England by the grace of His Majesty King Henry II, seized upon the person of a priest of the Holy Church and unlawfully did hold him in custody. Furthermore, in the presence of Lord Gilbert and by his command, his men seized upon this priest when he tried to escape and put him to death. This is the sin of murder and sacrilege. In that, Lord Gilbert has rendered no act of contrition or repentance and is at the moment at liberty in the land. We do here and now separate him from the precious body and blood of Christ and from the society of all Christians. We exclude him from our Holy Mother Church and all her sacraments in heaven or on earth. We declare him excommunicate and anathema. We cast him into the outer darkness. We judge him damned with the devil and his fallen angels and all the reprobate to eternal fire and everlasting pain.
Now, in another film, Night of the Iguana, which was directed by John Huston, great director whose birthday is today, Richard Burton plays a defrocked Episcopal priest, Anglican, and he loses it while he's giving a sermon. So this is an interesting contrast. Here goes.
If the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The sermon for today is taken from Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And I wonder, as we examine our hearts together in this place set aside for worship, how many of us here can say, I rule my own spirit? For how weak is man? How often do we stray from the straight and narrow? For only when we abide in the Lord are we like cities without walls. Only then can we defend ourselves against Satan and his temptations. We cannot rule ourselves alone. God only is our God only is our help and our salvation.
two or three are gathered together in my name, is what the scripture says. But that's not why you're here. Let's change the words. Let's rewrite the order of the morning prayer. Whenever two or three or 20 or 30 or 200 or 300 are gathered together to make whispered count, to sit in judgment upon the condition of a what? Yes, of a man of God. I said man of God, and I mean it. Just what you all know, that your pastor, your spiritual shepherd, is the descendant of a clergyman, the grandson of two bishops. But there were collateral branches to the family that went forth to brave dangers and who were scouts. Men with men's hearts, the wild and beady hearts of men. They knew hunger and they fed their appetites. They fed their appetites. Appetites that I have inherited. I defy you. Shannon defies you. Get out your top hearts. And cannot continue to conduct services in praise and worship of this angry, petulant old man in whom you believe. You turn your back on the God of love and compassion and invented for yourself this cruel, senile delinquent who brings the world and all that he created by his own voice. Close your windows, close your doors, close your heart against the truth of our God.
Now we'll play John Houston, whose birthday is today, and he talks about a burden and a night of the iguana. This was near the end of his life. He was getting awards for all the work that he's done in the 40 years as a director and actor.
I remember during the night of the iguana bringing my assistant, Tommy Shaw, back from the location to Puerto Vallarta with a broken back. Our boat had too deep a draft to get in close to the beach. It was late at night, and no canoes were about. A half dozen of the crew jumped overboard with the improvised stretcher, and standing on the sandy bottom, their heads below water, they held the stretcher up while Tommy was lowered into it. Then the disembodied forearms and hands carried him in. It was something out of Jean Cocteau. I remember my continuity girl on the African Queen.
That was short. We'll play a longer one at a later time. And we will play, let's see, where is she at? Where is Marilyn at? One of the things that have been very troubling in the American media has been this Molly Murdoch. Now, we're not justifying hacking, but it seems rather hypocritical considering in America there are propagandists who try to pass themselves off as a real journalist who lie, distort, and omit a lot of news and events that are really relevant to preserving this country and to helping people get through life, to helping children and helping those people who don't know how to protect themselves, who don't have the wherewithal to protect themselves. The resources are those people who cannot protect themselves because they're handicapped or otherwise disabled. And these people in the media, they sit there and pontificate. And I know some of them, unfortunately, it's not that many, who indulge themselves with cocaine. There are even fewer, thank God, who reportedly have been using resources of their a media employer to go to Bangkok looking for young boys and young girls. I was told by a major TV station here in San Francisco, and we brought this to the attention of the corporate executive, and no response. And you look at the agenda in the editorial pages and in the what I call the lavender-tinted news, it's just outrageous. So, again, there's an old saying, as when I was growing up on farm, that a fox or a skunk should smell its own hole first. Now, on these video voyeurs, we reported this to Congress people and to federal authorities, and we'll be putting this up on our Amicus Veritas, their response and irrefutable evidence of these videos. So you go to our Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, YouTube. We try to document as much as possible. Among the other fictions in the media is this whole bicycle agenda. Here we have these two-wheeled anarchists who put their wheels on the road, but yet they will not, do not, and it's not enforced that they follow the rules of the road, that people who drive four-wheel vehicles and six-wheel vehicles who pay for a license, who are licensed and who have insurance. And there are a growing number of accidents because of the stupid, asinine planning. They run these bicycle lanes right in the path of commercial vehicles, garages, delivery services, which do contribute to the economy. Bicycles, with the exception of bicycle messengers, bicycles do not contribute to the economy. This is a special right. It's a rights exemption and special allowances for people who don't contribute but who consume. They take these bikes to their espresso shop or their a few to their cocaine dealers. And it's an interesting demographic, which we have seen in this area in Northern California, in the urban areas. During the daytime, more and more we're seeing white and Asian and some Latino yuppies riding these bicycles. They go through red lights. They make right turns without signaling. They don't even wait for cars. Make turns, and then we've had two major injuries which resulted in death. And then we have the suspected illegals who can't get a license, can't afford a car, and they drive bikes to their place of employment where they're often illegally employed. And at night, it's drug use. So it's very interesting. We'll be documenting more of this on Damn Reckless Driver, the bicycle part. Go to the April 5th historical birth, deaths, and events. Today, in 1583, the English set up started to colonize a forlorn colony in Canada called Newfoundland. And the Newfies, if you go there today or you run into some of these people that they travel, some of them still speak in what has been described as 15th century English, Old English, that would be spoken at that time. During the reign of Henry VIII, Elizabeth. Also, in 1772, this is interesting. The Poles, Poland was partitioned, has been partitioned many times, cut up by its neighbors, the Russians, the Austrians, and the Prussians, and the Germans in World War II. They made a deal with Stalin, half and half, until the Germans decided they wanted it all and then some of Russia. What's interesting about Poland is that we got Copernicus came out of Poland, and in the middle of the 15th century, a brilliant Polish general, Jan Sobieski, commanded the defenders of Christian Europe at Vienna. And this was where the Ottoman Turks had come up and tried to capture and conquer that part of Europe. And Sobieski successfully defended Vienna and stop the Turks. And today, when you see the crescent, that's where it came from. And in celebration of the victory over the Turks, the Ottoman Turks, he ordered, or the bakers of Vienna created this crescent. In French, it's called croissant. And so this is where croissant comes from. It comes from that battle, and you can thank Jan Sobieski. And that's the one time when the Polish were military leaders of the world. And also in the opera Boris Godunov, they have the Polish imposter. So those of you who like opera, that's where that's a part of Polish history. Also, getting back to our history, in 1846, there was this fight over 54-40, a fight over the Oregon Territory. And the British and the Americans got together and finally decided that the Oregon-Canadian border would be at the 46th parallel, so we lost 8 inches of parallel. And so the British got British Columbia, and we got Washington, the state of Washington, and Oregon. And let's see, what else came today? Oh, in 1861, the United States Army abolished flogging. Now, if you see the movie where the Irish Brigade, these were American soldiers in the Mexican War who were Catholic and decided to desert the American Army and to go fight with the Mexicans against the Americans because the Mexicans were Catholic. And the ones who were captured were not only flogged, they were branded. There's a famous movie which we'll get into another time. And it's called the San Patricio Brigade. It's an interesting part of American and Mexican history. Also today, we had the Jesse Owen in 1936. We talked about this last week. The great black athlete, Olympic athlete. He won 3 marathon races, and Hitler got pissed off and wouldn't, of course, he was a racist, him of all people who had Jewish blood. He wouldn't stick around to award him the medals, and he walked out. And then we had Mandela in 1962, who was arrested and imprisoned, I think, on that island off of South Africa, where he was for, I think it was some 25 years, and finally was freed with the de Klerk government, and they realized that they couldn't suppress the legitimate freedom and rights aspirations of the blacks and the half-blacks in South Africa. Also, in 1624, I forgot this, we had the, well, this, these are the births. The first black child was born in the in America, I think in Chesapeake area. The Elephant Man in 1860, Joseph Merrick, was born today. One of the great conductors is also, it's a family, the Kleibers, Kleber, Eric Kleber, is Austrian, and he decided not to stick around when Hitler marched into Austria, and he conducted around the world. His son, Carlos, he went to Argentina, and his son Carlos also became a great conductor and died recently. I don't know if they were Catholic. And, of course, in 1906, John Houston, the son of Walter Houston, John Houston was born today. And an interesting death of an Australian prime minister, Harold Holt, was prime minister of Australia during the 60s. And he was quite a swimmer, and he disappeared. They never found his body. It's one of those mysteries. And he was of the left-wing party in Australia, and it's a lot of mysteries whether he was a communist sympathizer, had been killed, or what. It's one of those mysteries that haven't been resolved. Also today, Richard Kleindienst became, who was involved in the Watergate scandal, another attorney. This helps dispel that fiction that attorneys have totally ethical, honest, competent, and infallible. He was caught up in the Watergate scandal in the Nixon administration. And then among the deaths today, we had the first black Catholic archbishop or bishop, a guy named, he was part Irish, I believe, James Augustine Hurley. He died today. And then Marilyn Monroe died today. And she sang a happy birthday to Kennedy. And where is she? She was supposed to be here. Here we go. And this was quite infamous because supposedly she had an affair with Robert Kennedy, and her mystery of her death still interests us to this day. So here's this. This is part of our presidential anecdotes and presidential and political anecdotes and events. And so this is very relevant because I don't think anybody with the category and talent of Marilyn Monroe sang happy birthday to Mr. Rowe.
now retired from politics after having had that happy birthday sung to me.
Well, that was the late President John F. Kennedy, and of course, Marilyn died on this day in 1962, I believe, and John Kennedy died almost a year later, or maybe, Kennedy's birthday was in May. He was killed November 22nd, 1963. I remember it well, and we didn't believe it when it happened. We're digitizing the work that we did in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and California, and the one interview I did for Cairo Radio in Seattle. And then also we're going through all of our video stuff and work that we did at KLW-FM here in San Francisco, lectures that we gave at the school district, and work we did at Western Public Radio. And so it's a lot of cataloging. And, of course, surprisingly, a lot of the tapes held up. It's an eclectic one. Our focus is going to be, it's an urban, there's urban chronicles. We're going to try to have more humorous things like cat and canine tales of the city, some funny things that animals do in the city. We'll be doing more on consumer interesting things. So for instance, some of the grocery stores, they're all required to have toilets available to their customers. And so because the toilets have been used for drug dealers and other activities, maybe shoplifting, they're now putting locks on the toilets. And you have to, so if you got to go and you're in a grocery store, you better tell a clerk that otherwise cross your legs. And we'll show you exactly what some of these grocery stores are doing. We have public policy issues. One of the things that is quite disturbing is that we have what happened in Berkeley nearly 40 years ago, where students and others, agitators, came into Berkeley and got involved in politics locally, didn't know anything about the city or California. And people like Giarmi Bailey, who also had a law degree, was one of the right left-wingers. And there's a problem that we think that, there's a requirement to be a time residency to vote, to register to vote and to be able to vote. And maybe it's time that we put a time requirement to run for office in the community. Learn the community first before you try to rule it. We think that's appropriate. So we'll be getting into more of these things, public policy questions. And some of the things you want to know, need to know, didn't know, but you didn't know how to ask, who to ask, where to ask. This is Peter Paul Vizzola, and so we'll end with our usual, excuse me, still getting over this bloody cold. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Five,
two. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Info.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it bound? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the truth.
poker, which is more important?
Yeah, there was a paratrace. Anyway, Peter Paul Brazola, good night, and we'll be back Monday at 5 o'clock.